2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. And I am your host today, Boomer's Daddy. And joining me, the one, the only, the man that, well, let's just put it frank. We got to kind of check his pulse after last night. Bear, how are you doing out there in Lakerland?
We're struggling. we are struggling. I've been saying it since, you know, before the season started. It's going to take 20 games. The one thing I could say is we fought back, right? Yeah. I mean, we got to single digits.
We were talking a little bit last night, and I actually went to bed before it got to single digits, but I was like, you know, coming out of halftime, I was like, you know, the first 5-6 minutes is going to be, you know, one of those, you know, gut check moments for the Lakers, for this Lakers team. Let's see what kind of heart they have to be able to put out there. And it took a little bit longer than the 6 minute mark in the third quarter, but they did battle back. It was nice to see. We've long talked about it. We look more for how people respond to situations rather than the results.
Right.
You know, at the earliest Thanksgiving, at the latest probably Christmas, New Year's, especially in the Western Conference, where we know that everybody needs to get, you know, as many wins as they can, because seeding is going to come down to be very, very important, because it looks like 2 through 8 is kind of wide open right now, because I don't think that the Nuggets are going to stay this hot, and I don't think that the Rockets are going to stay this bad. You know, so I think it's wide open in the West after the Warriors.
But you've also got a low. I don't think the Kings are going to stay this hot either.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you've got a lot of ends of the spectrum.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you still have. I mean, there are teams that are on the outside now, which is ridiculous to even talk about, considering it's, you know, 10 games or whatever in. But everything's going to change. And for me, the biggest issue has been just no defense. Like not just last night, but since that was the most recent game, the Raptors did whatever they wanted offensively. There was just zero resistance. It's funny because when Wojnarowski put out a tweet that the Nuggets, the Suns are going to be buying out Tyson Chandler, I put it in the NBA talk. I'm like, he's coming to the Lakers. I have zero doubt. And then 20, 30 minutes later, he's going to sign with the Lakers. I'm like, I knew it. Number one, he's an LA kid. That's the first thing. Number two, he wants to play with a contender. Number three,
you can get him for the vet men.
Definitely for the vet men, and he's exactly what the team needs.
Yep. I love the move.
Yeah, it's really good. And listen, he's got a lot left in the tank. Let's not make any mistakes there. The Suns are all about their youth right now, so he doesn't get the minutes, but he can defend, he can rebound, he can block shots. He's going to catch a lot of alley-oops from the guards. I mean, he's going
to
be good.
Yeah, I think in limited spurts, he's got a lot left. I'm not looking for, you know, you're not looking for him to play 25, 30 minutes every single night, but
you don't need him to.
But, you know, when you guys are going up against guys like, you know, Memphis, guys like Oklahoma City, when Boogie comes back, Boogie Cousins, you're going to need a bigger body in there to kind of contend with them a little bit, because JaVale McGee just can't bang for 35 minutes. So I really do like the move. I think it's going to add a little bit more toughness on the defensive end. Now, if we can just get Lonzo to start playing like Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart, then I think we'll be good. Or I think you'll be good, not we. So,
yeah.
But it's a fluid situation every single day. That's kind of how the NBA is. It's a game of runs. It's a game of streaks. You know, teams can get hot and teams can go cold. So it's kind of one of those situations. We take everything with a grain of salt. We know what should happen and could happen, but we also prepare for what, you know, normal people don't look and see. So, all right. So we've got nine games on the schedule today. We've got ADVP out, so we're going to be talking a lot about that. It's not fully, like, it doesn't have its full 20 games in yet, but it does have 10. So we've got a really, really good idea, but it's not, like, as powerful as it will be by the end of next week. But it'll give us a really good idea, and then we can talk about some situations to go through there as well. Point guards, we ready?
I am.
Okay, I think we have to start it out at the top. My boy, yeah, Mr. Russ,
yeah,
going against New Orleans. This is it's hard to believe that, you know, with as fast as Oklahoma City wants to play, getting buckets in transition is something that they love to do. You know, not only with Russ, but with Dennis Schroeder and Paul George. It's hard to believe that this is actually going to be a pace up game for the Thunder tonight.
I mean, that kind of tells you everything you need to know about, you know, how much Russ we're going to play. I mean, like, he'll be my highest exposure point guard in tournaments.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't see how you don't. Like you said, pace up. He's clearly...
Actually, I just pulled it up. That pace up is no longer a thing. They're playing at pretty much the exact same pace.
Well... Okay, so it's not pace up, but you've got two of the fastest paced teams in the league, right?
Yes,
so
that's they're both, they're 5-6 right now.
Yeah.
So this game is, I mean, it's no wonder this game has got a 235 total. It's the highest on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, 12K, is it safe to say on FanDuel at 12K, he's almost too cheap?
No.
No, you don't think so? No. How about 11-1 on DraftKings? I mean, he's the most expensive guy on Anthony Davis is a little bit more expensive on DraftKings, and I think he's 200 cheaper on FanDuel. So, I mean, I don't know.
And you get triple double bonuses on DK.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll have him on both sites.
It's hard not to play.
Yeah, it's hard not to play him at all. I love Russ tonight, and I love Russ most nights. But like, this is about as close to a lock button as you can possibly get.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And just to add to that, with some of the value we're going to be talking about here, you're probably going to see a lot of people have a lot of Russ tonight. So, just to keep that in mind.
Yeah, he's probably going to be one of the highest guys on the board.
Highest total on the board, 4.5 point spread. Yeah. I mean, nice. Okay.
Andre Iguodala is out, so
yep, sorry.
That's just what I was doing right there. So. That's going to change a couple things when we get down to those spots. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about the next guy, obviously, that we kind of need to talk about. Steph Curry. He is 10-7, so you get a nice little discount from Russ, $1,300. Memphis is actually the toughest point guard matchup on the board, and that has everything to do with Mike Conley. The only issue I have with that is the fact that Steph can still get his. He's an elite player, so I don't tend to look at, you know, ADVP matchups as much. But if you needed a reason to fade Steph in tournaments, thinking that he's going to be chalky and you want to play that type of leverage, then that might be one of the reasons. The other reason is Draymond's playing at an outstanding level. Klay can always get hot, and Kevin Durant's Kevin Durant.
And one more thing to throw out there. It's a 14.5 point spread in favor of Golden State.
Ah, not worried about that. I don't predict
14 and a half. That's crazy.
That's something that I would want to look up. How many times that, you know, where they've been like a 13 or a 12 or 13 or plus more spread, how many times they actually cover.
Yeah, and also remember that Memphis played yesterday.
Now, that could have a lot to do with it. Yeah. Especially if we get word later on maybe that, you know, they rest Conley or they rest Gasol. Those are the two big ones. You know, they're the only two guys that I could see that if they rest, the spread's going to grow, and then maybe you start to think about, you know, possibly limiting some exposure there.
Right.
So.
And for all I mean, look, we already saw that Iguodala was out. Let's see who else. You never know. They might think, you know what, we don't need everyone for this game. I don't know. We'll see. So.
Yep, I agree.
So. That'll change things.
I guess I don't mind Curry here. If you're wanting to take the stand, I'm going to fade Russ because of chalk. I mean, you can always throw that type of game theory out there. I don't like fading a guy that's got 80 point upside.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's chalky or not. I just don't like doing it for that reason. But if you want to take that stand, I guess you could. Thinking that, you know, if you go with the situation of, okay, I think that if this game stays close, I can ping pong Steph and Conley and get lower ownership on both. And what you're hoping for there is that Russ kind of has a so-so game and that Steph outscores Russ by, what, 5-10 at a fraction of the ownership?
Yeah.
So, and this is for main slate, guys. Main slate only, but that's kind of what you're hoping for if you're playing the fade Russ to pay for Curry card.
Yeah, agreed.
So, okay. Chris Paul. We saw James Harden come back the other day. It was one of those situations where he went bananas against Brooklyn.
Sure did.
You know, he scored 32 real-life points, had 11 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, only 2 turnovers. Had the game of the year. And then came out against Chicago with Harden back, and he kind of struggled from the field a little bit. I don't know if he was just kind of deferring or if he couldn't get his shot up or if he was just off. I'm looking to see how many shots he actually took. But he only scored 7 real-life points, still kind of was on the verge of giving you a triple-double, did have 4 steals to kind of salvage a little bit of it. But he went down to 8,500 now.
Mm-hmm.
I love Paul for tournaments, but you're going to be probably getting a little bit of the combo of Darren Collison and Corey Joseph defense, which doesn't scare me. But the one thing that does scare me is that Harden is back. No, he just shot like crap. He shot 11 times. He just shot like crap, 27% from the field.
Well, remember, he shot like crap. He's getting up there in age and miles. And that big game that he had was the night before. So
you're right. It was on the back end of a back-to-back. So
keep that in mind.
And as my previous co-host used to always said, beware of jump shooters on the back end of a back-to-back.
Sure.
So, and Paul is not one of those guys that's going to drive to the rim a lot anymore. Just because he knows how important he is to that team to get where they want to get. And it's one of those things like I completely forgot about going into Saturday. So, that's a good catch there. All right, now the question of the day. Because Kyle Lowry went absolutely bananas in the first quarter yesterday.
He sure did.
I think he had 38 fantasy points in the first quarter. That helps when you've got 11 assists.
Yeah.
In the first quarter.
Yeah.
Not the first half, in the first quarter.
You finished with like 15 assists.
Yeah. So he kind of slouched off the rest of the game. But he's 8,300. He's going into the back end of a back-to-back going into Utah. Now, we talk about this a lot, but we normally talk about it when they're doing it for Denver. Normally, we just auto-fade guys that played the previous night when they're going into Denver on the back end of a back-to-back because of the altitude, because of the travel, because of how long it takes to get from the airport to downtown and all that stuff. Utah's no slouch either. They're the second highest altitude in the NBA. It's still, it's not nearly as bad as Denver, but it is still pretty bad. Is this just an auto fade with Kawhi coming back?
It is for me.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that we're on the same page. Mike Conley.
I mean,
indecisions.
Yeah. All right.
So I think
it's a good spot. I think, you know, obviously anyone who plays Golden State is going to be in a faster pace. They're not as bad of a team as I think people kind of think they are, because they have been for so many years. I'm not saying they're a good team by any stretch. I'm just saying they're not the absolute bottom of the barrel like they've been for so long. I think adding Garrett Temple helped that team defensively. I think, you know, their rookie, Jaren Jackson helps them a lot defensively. I mean, obviously, you know, having a little more healthier Marc Gasol helps them a lot. So, you know, if what you're saying is, I don't think it's going to be a blowout, well, then I really like the low ownership play here of Conley, because I think most of the industry is thinking this game won't be close by the third quarter.
Yeah.
And you won't get Steph and you won't get Conley. So I definitely like that aspect. And Conley's healthy. We could see it. The guy is – he had a letdown game, I believe, recently. I think he actually salvaged the game towards the end there. But from a leverage perspective
– Now, yesterday – this is the back end of a back-to-back. Yesterday against Phoenix, 24.7, and that was a game that Phoenix actually pulled out.
They did, but Booker hit the game winner there.
Yeah. So, but other than that, I mean, he's playing 32 to 35 minutes. He did only play, you know, 26 minutes last night.
Well, that could very well be because of the night.
And yeah, it very well could have been. I figured if you're Memphis, you'd want to go in and try to beat Phoenix rather than, you know, and then just kind of allow Golden State. But, you know, they probably did. They're using Golden State as – everybody uses Golden State as the measuring stick.
For sure.
Like, you know, like I expected Oklahoma City, the opening game of the season, to go in and get blown out without Russ, you know, without Robertson. And the fact that that was a two – or one-possession game with 3 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, I was extremely happy with that. You know, so it was a measuring stick of how can we play. And that's what these teams do. They go in and they give Golden State their best shot. And then when Golden State actually starts to pull away, then they're like, okay, here's the white flag.
Yeah.
I love Conley if you're going to ping pong him with one or two of the Warriors. Like, I like the idea of in a tournament lineup, when we talk about construction, pairing Conley and Gasol. And then maybe like a Draymond and a Clay, or a Draymond and a Durant, or a Draymond and a Curry. You notice how I keep saying Draymond. We'll talk about him here a little bit later. But,
yeah.
You know, because if the game is close, and for the Warriors to get, you know, to pay off, you're going to need guys from the Grizzlies to play well as well. So you want to have that ping pong going back and forth in your lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it's a great idea, especially considering that I think that blowout fear for everyone will keep them away. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think the ownership on this game is going to be extremely low as of right now. Now, if we get word that, you know, somebody's sitting or, you know, stuff like that, then we could see it fluctuate in one way or another. But as of right now, I think it's extremely low. Okay. Let's talk about some of these. Let's talk about one more guy before we get into some of the mid-tier range. And we're talking about a lot of these top guys because they're in really, in my opinion, really kind of intriguing matchups tonight. This is a very, very good slate to apply a lot of game theory. Yeah. Kyrie Irving going into Denver. Minus the Indianapolis game on Saturday, where he kind of struggled a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The two previous games before that, he played outstanding basketball. Like, yeah. Outstanding the best he's played all season. What are you doing with Kyrie going into Denver, knowing that he could see a lot of Gary Harris tonight?
I mean, I don't like it that much. I don't like most teams going into Denver. I don't like point guards in particular because, I mean, like you said, man, they defend really well. At home, on the road, it's a different story. But at home, they're really, really tough to play against. And, you know, what they're going, and they know that Kyrie is pretty much the heart of that offense. I think you can maybe take some other players from the Celtics, potentially, or not, right? I mean, but I don't know if I want to attack Denver at the point guard. I think I might like Jaylen Brown a little bit more here because
we're kind of on the same page.
Because
I think Gary Harris doesn't get enough credit for being a very good on-ball defender. And if you look at the ADVP, among point guards, it's the second worst on the slate. Right behind, you know, Memphis. A lot of what Memphis is also the pace that they play.
Yeah.
But Denver, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, Gary Harris being that on-ball defender, which allows teams to attack their two guard, and you're attacking Jamal Murray. You're attacking, you know, lesser defenders in that area.
Right.
So right. I really do like that. Monte Morris, for everything that we love about him, he's not a good defender at the NBA level yet. He still defends with his hands and not his feet, and it's very, very difficult to do that with guys that, you know, can get up and get around you. So, yeah. And he's not really good at fighting through screens yet either, I've noticed. Which, hopefully that'll come in time.
It will. He's got a long way to go.
So, on the other side, Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have a lot of exposure to this game, man. Especially if some situations that we're thinking might happen end up do happening.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see how it looks. But,
yeah.
I mean, the point guards in this game are going to be tough for me to play. If I do have a choice, it'll be Jamal, but I got to make sure Luz isn't playing him first.
Yes. Who do you think Jaylen Brown's going to be covering the most? Like, do you think him and Kyrie are kind of switch off, and the Marcus Smart's going to be in there? And it, like, we don't usually like attacking this Boston backcourt. We usually do it in the front court.
Yeah.
But man, between Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, these guys can get hot, and they can carry this Denver Nuggets team for a full quarter at times.
And they do it a lot and well at home. I keep on saying it, but it's the truth. I mean, this is a different team at home. I mean, a lot of teams are, but the delta between home and road for the Nuggets is just it's large. So who do I think Jaylen will be on? I don't see him being too much on Jamal, at least not to start the game, at least not with the starters in. But I think, you know, what you mentioned, Smart. I think once Smart comes in, you're probably going to see Jalen most of the time on Gary Harris. I just think it makes sense for him to be there. I don't know if I see him guarding Jamal Murray per se, but when Jamal moves to the two, you brought up Monty Morris. Morris comes in and Murray moves over to the two guard, and Monty plays point guard because he's the only true point guard they have. I think that makes some sense, but yeah. Only for parts of the game. I don't see it long term.
Yeah. Unless one of these guards for Boston gets in foul trouble, these three, and we're talking about Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and Kyrie Irving. Actually, you could add Terry Rozier in there as well. These four are basically their backcourt, and they rotate in. They're all going to play minutes. They're all this is a very good defensive scheme. They complement each other well, and it's not something that we like to attack, especially if they're going to be playing in a very, very intense game at altitude. I mean, they have been there since probably late Saturday night, so they had yesterday to kind of acclimate. But it's, I'll have a little bit of exposure to the backcourt just because of the potential for them to get hot, but most of my exposure is going to come in the front court. So, so Goran Dragic is already going to be in play, or he's already said that he's going to play. I think he's in play against Detroit. Jeff Teague is questionable, looking like he's on track to play. That's going to basically tell you not to play Derrick Rose or Tyus Jones.
Yeah. I don't think I would have anyways, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I would have anyways either. But, I don't think Jeff Teague's in play either, just going up against Patrick Beverley, who seems to have gotten his old swagger back.
We sure has.
And with Jimmy Butler possibly back tonight, this just kind of makes it a little bit more muddy. So,
it's kind of ugly there, man. I mean, there's other positions, but yeah, I don't know if I like that game very much.
Yep. Shelvin Mack. We've talked about him a little bit. He got hot last night.
Talk about him, man. Yeah. We really got to talk about him.
He's put up 30 fantasy points his last three games. He's playing anywhere between 28 to 30 minutes. He's playing a lot of the two guard as well with Mike Conley on the floor, and then gets a lot of the second team usage when Conley's on the bench. He's on one of these stretches that is pretty nice. Now, it is the back end of a back-to-back. It is going into Golden State. But he's $4,500 on FanDuel, and I kind of think he's blowout proof.
I think he is. I think he's one of those guys for me where, because he's so cheap and because I love to ride the wave when a guy's hot like that, he's going to get the minutes. Slight concern that he played about 30-something minutes last night.
Yeah, 27.
But that's his role. So, I'm okay with it. And if this game does stay close, he'll be involved.
My issue with this is, one, how popular is he going to be? Yeah. Because if he's going to be the chalk point value point guard of the night, then it is worth the discussion about possibly fading him in tournaments, because he is shooting 62.5%, 63.5%, and 70% from the field the last three games. And he's shooting 66% from beyond the arc. So it's kind of one of those things I want to ride the hot wave, but we know that this isn't the type of player that he normally is. So if he's going to be chalk, maybe you think about going underweight if you're building multiple lineups, but we can't deny the fact that he's playing very, very well in this system. In his first year, and now showing us one of the reasons why he was such a high draft pick with Utah.
Yeah.
Right, he was drafted by Utah, right?
I think he was.
I thought he was, too. I said something wrong the other day on the pod, and I got blasted for it by a couple guys. No, he was drafted by the Wizards.
Ah.
So, I don't think he ever played for him, but he was drafted by the Wizards. Gotcha. So, and that was back in 2010. Wow. 2011. But he's a second. He's a second round pick. So
he's a veteran, a second round pick. I mean, he's shown even in Orlando, he's shown he can put up numbers. You know, his coaches trust him because he gets minutes everywhere he goes, man. And maybe not 30, but he plays. So.
He's a very solid, sound basketball player, which is something that, you know, Memphis loves.
Yeah,
they like good, solid, quality, sound basketball. Yeah. You know, you don't have to be Showtime. But right. You do have to understand and know the game. They're very, very smart. So let's work on we got to find some value here other than Shelvin Mack.
Okay.
Van Vliet on the back end of a back-to-back maybe? Did he play a
lot yesterday? Here's the thing, man. Like, he just really seemed off. I mean, the team was doing whatever they wanted offensively, and he couldn't get it going.
He played 23 minutes and got 2 fantasy points.
Yeah, I mean, he just – and I watched the game, as you know. It was just – he had open looks. I don't think he's ready yet.
You don't think he's fully back from his injury?
Yeah, I mean, he might be back from the injury as far as not being hurt, but as far as
– being in a groove.
Yeah, getting his basketball groove back, you know.
Okay. Patrick Beverley pestering the point guards in the backcourt of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Are you asking if I would play Beverley or the Timberwolves?
No. Do you like Patrick Beverley in this spot?
I do.
He's the same price as Shelvin Mack?
I do.
Okay, what about DJ Augustine?
I don't mind him for value either.
Okay. The reason I mentioned a couple of those guys is on FanDuel, they're all the same price. Right. You can add Ish Smith into there as well. Okay.
And I'm actually going to have a decent amount of Ishmith.
Yes, I am too. I really like that matchup. I say DJ Augustine because his matchup is a little bit better, according to ADVP. But all of those guys are 4,500 on FanDuel. And I think if Shelvin Mack ends up becoming that quote-unquote chalk value, blowout proof, all this thing that, you know, DFS players like to think that they're getting smart about this early in the season, I think all three of those guys are really good tournament pivots.
So is Colin Sexton versus Orlando.
You know, I've been reading some stuff about him.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavaliers players really don't like him.
Really?
Yeah. From what I can tell, they say that, like, and of course this is all anonymous sources, they say he's not ready. He's not smart, and he does not know how to play basketball at the NBA level yet.
Oh boy. Yeah, I read something about Sexton delusions or something like that. I think that's what you're talking about. But that's bad to hear. That's pretty bad. By the way, you mentioned the 4,500, those three of those guys. For 1,000 more, you've got Nilakita versus the Bulls. I mean, I don't like the price too much, but I love the matchup.
Especially if Hardaway's out,
which is looking like it looked kind of bad.
Yeah, it did.
So I'm going to lean on the side of he's probably not going to play. Who the hell is going to score for that team? I mean, it's going to have to be Cantor and Dotson. I mean, I don't. How are they going to score? It's going to be. I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it goes there. But just an option there. Outside of that, I'm not really. Not really looking at too much else down low, you know, any lower. Maybe Gilgis Alexander. That's a big maybe. He's come down a lot. He's pretty cheap. So maybe you can pivot there. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing lower than that that I like really.
Okay. So, all right, let's move on to shooting guards here. Took a lot of time on point guards. We usually do because they're the ones that handle the ball, and they're usually the ones that kind of dictate how we feel about everything else. James Harden against Indy. He's probably going to see a ton of Victor Oladipo.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to fade, and I'm going to go over to Depot instead.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to approach it. Will they put Chris Paul on Depot? Maybe. But go ahead.
I was going to say, I think you'll see a little bit, but I don't think you'll see it the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I said maybe, like just a little bit, but not enough to deter me from not playing him in this pace. Right. And Indy's at home. I really like Indy at home. I like Indy in general. They look phenomenal this year.
I asked you, where do you think Houston is in pace in terms of league and in the league? What would you think? Because I just saw this and it really shocked me.
Yeah, no, I looked at it earlier too, which it is. I mean, you would think they're top 10, but they're not. They're like middle of the pack.
Miami, Dallas, Detroit, Portland, Toronto, they're all playing at a faster pace as of right now. Now, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that, you know, Paul was out for a couple games and then, you know, Harden's out. So we'll see how it kind of, I think it's going to kind of, you know, right the ship, but you know, right now it wouldn't matter anyways. It's still a pace up game for Indiana, who are playing at the second slowest pace in the NBA. I agree. I love Depot tonight. And I think it's a great matchup.
Like, it's going to be hard for me, and there's a lot of good options here, but it's going to be hard for me not to play Depot and Drew in this game. I mean, in this slate. So, I mean, I'm probably going to have a majority of those two in my shooting guards.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Another guy we can certainly take a shot at is Zach LaVine. I mean, you know, again, matchup is... The reason why I like this right now is because if you look at Hardaway being out, it changes a lot of the game. I don't think either team is capable of blowing out another team.
Right.
I mean, these are two bad teams. Let's just call it what it is. So I think it's going to be relatively close. What do these totals look like here? Ooh. 212.5, and it looks like it's a 2.5-point spread. New York is favored. Someone's going to have to score for the Knicks. So, yeah, Cantor certainly can be that guy. But, I mean, someone's got to score for the Bulls, too. So LaVine's got the ball in his hands more than anybody on that team. So
yeah, I like guys like Justin Holiday, mm-hmm. who's starting to see his price kind of come up a little bit. You know, he's 5,400 now. He's New York's not good at defending the shooting guard position either. Ntilikina's, especially with Hardaway out, Ntilikina's their only perimeter defender. It kind of just depends on how they play it. If you're going to see a lot of Ntilikina on Justin Holiday, then because they could end up trying to make the point guards of the Bulls beat them. Guys like Cameron Payne, you know, those guys. LaVine is what I would call a point forward almost.
Yeah.
You know, he can kind of chameleon himself between the one and the four. Mostly it's the one and the three, but he could play the four in smaller lineups. And he's going to handle the ball a lot, but I don't think I don't think Ntilikina is good enough to guard him yet. Maybe pester him a little bit, but not really like lock him down and prevent him from getting a very good game out. The problem I have with LaVine on FanDuel is he's 8,300. And I think I can find better matchups for cheaper and not have to worry about, you know, if he's going to get kind of phased out or, you know, stuff like that. This is the matchup you play Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like playing a chalk Zach LaVine, if he's going to be chalk.
Well, I don't think he will be, realistically, because I look at, you know, all of the other plays that are on the board, you know, like I mentioned Depot and Drew and Harden, and we even talk about Jimmy Butler, and you've got Anthony Davis, you've got Russell Westbrook. I mean, you're going to see either people go up to the studs or go medium, you know, like Fournier, Schroeder, Dotson kind of play. Lou Williams kind of plays, I don't know that he's going to be chalking. Not on this slate.
Okay.
Not at 8,300. I don't know that he will. So let's you want to get to value here?
Yes, please.
I can't believe I'm gonna be talking about this guy. It kind of blows me away here a little bit. So a couple of things. First of all, I think Rodney Hood is kind of becoming the man over there.
Really?
Yeah, man. It's pains me to say it, but he is. I mean, they don't really have dynamic scorers over there. I mean, George Hill can score a little bit. You know, you mentioned the Colin Sexton situation. You've got Jordan Clarkson who can come off the bench and score. But, I mean, he's like the main shooter there. So, you know, it's tough, man. It's tough to just not look at him, to overlook him, rather, versus Orlando. Because Orlando doesn't defend well at all at the guards. So you've got that. You've got... This is tough. Jaylen Brown's $4,900 on right. FanDuel.
He is.
I mean, yeah, we talked about the matchup, but at that cheap, I mean, that's a hard guy not to play at that number, man. That's going to be tough for me not to play him at that number.
And you know I love me some Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he can do it not only on the offensive end, but also the defensive.
Yeah. So with... this is going to be interesting. So right now we are showing Dylan Brooks to be projected at about 26 minutes. This is the guy that will probably see less than 1%. I'm just letting you guys know. And if you want to take a shot in tournaments, I think I don't mind that.
Yeah, and he might get more run now that Amir Caspi's out.
Yeah, I was going to add Caspi in there too. And, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons that
I mean, there's not a ton of minutes that Caspi's been eating up, but one less guy in that rotation possibly could allow him to get a little bit more run. I mean, I see it. I don't mind it. Especially if he's one of the guys that you want to bring some of your Golden State stacks back with.
Right, exactly. And also, if we do see Hardaway's out, I would like to see some more run for Trier, particularly going up against the Bulls.
Oh,
particularly
yeah.
A team that needs to score.
I think you'll see it.
Yeah, that he can score. So another guy to keep in mind there. And then the last one, yeah, I don't even know if I want to touch this Utah-Toronto game, to be honest. I just, yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, it's really hard. I know Grayson Allen's min price, but I don't think I would even want to waste the roster spot to try to play Grayson Allen and hope he gets hot on this one. Exactly. Not against Toronto.
Exactly.
So, all right, let's move on to some small forward here. Kevin Durant, obviously in play. Kawhi Leonard, I think he plays tonight.
Yeah, if it's a matter of, you know, they rested him because it's the first leg of a back-to-back, I agree, but I don't think that's the case here. I think he really hurt his foot, and they're a little concerned. So we'll have to wait and see. The good news is it's at Utah. Yeah, we might not know before luck for sure, but if Kawhi plays, I got to play him here.
Yeah, I'm along those same lines as you. I think they rested him because of the foot. They gave him that extra day. I think that if he didn't hurt the foot the previous game, I think he would have played last night and sat tonight. But the fact that they could give him that extra day, I still think that kind of made their decision to sit him last night and play tonight.
Right.
So,
But let's talk about probably my favorite small forward.
Go ahead.
I think I might be pairing him up with Russ in this one.
Paul George. Go ahead.
Mind you, this is coming from a Lakers fan. So, biases aside here, I think, I mean, look, he's going to end up, excuse me, either with Drew or Mirotić on him. I mean, I know Mirotić is a small forward, but like the pace of this game, the totals of this game, like I want the primary scorers in this game. So like if I had to pick the four studs, which we know who they are in this game, you know, AD, Drew, Russ, and George, and then go find your value elsewhere, that's what I want to do. So, yeah, he's probably my favorite small forward. His shot hasn't been falling, which is, you know, my concern, people, at his price tag.
Mm-hmm. But he's still been putting his mark on the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's you know, obviously the key point. And he's had one game where he's kind of gotten off a little bit. And that was, you know, the Clippers game where he had 32 points. But he's got 10 rebounds. He's giving you assists. We know he's going to give you steals.
Right.
More times than not, he's probably going to give you a couple blocks. So,
right.
And he's going to play the minutes. You know, part of that Washington game was the fact that, you know, it was a blowout.
It was a blowout. Yeah, I was heading towards taking first in the big one. I had just everything perfect, and then Washington couldn't keep it close, and they sat Russ. I had Russ at like pretty low ownership. But
yeah, I think it was like 8% that night.
Yeah, and I was like 60%, so I was well on my way, but part of the game. So on the other side of that, I mean, you know, if you don't want to pay up for AD, which is expensive, you can always look at Mirotić. I mean, Mirotić has been nothing but solid, man. I mean, even in some of the matchups, you're like, oh, yeah, he's got a tough matchup. He's still putting up numbers. Rebounds, three-pointers. I mean, just the guy's been solid all year. I mean,
we don't have anybody that can guard him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
and I hate saying that, but we don't. Like,
no, it's true.
Jeremy Grant's a good defender, like, but his weakness is guarding the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
He's better at, you know, towards the rim and in the mid-range. He can every once in a while, but if you're telling me that guys like Patrick Patterson and Jeremy Grant are going to be guarding him most of the time,
yeah,
then probably not going to have to worry about it. Now, he might see a little bit of Paul George from time to time. When, you know, we go small and we put Jeremy Grant at the five, I'm trying to think how the rotations are kind of work, because if Davis plays, it reshuffles the whole thing and it becomes a mismatch on both ends, on so many different levels.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I'm gonna have a lot of him too. I might even just, you know, stack some of these Pelicans as well. So, I mean, there's all kinds of options here. But so we both like Miro. That's good. I'm a little bit off of Josh Richardson with Dragic back. You know, with Dragic gone, I mean, he's the point guard. I mean, you know, say Winslow if you want, but it's him. And then Winslow kind of, you know, does a little bit of backup stuff, which was actually Tyler Johnson.
The only thing that I can say about Richardson is his price didn't move.
Yeah. Well, they must have known that that Dragic was coming back.
Yeah, probably. But,
so I'm going to continue to X out Jabari Parker. I need to see more from him. I just do. I mean, I don't know. He's not the same person. Or not the same player, at least. As great as this matchup is, man, I've got to see something from him. Now, if he was in the 5K range, I might take a look. But 6,600 for a guy that just hasn't been doing it. Not for me. Now, who do you think Jimmy Butler is guarding tonight?
Danilo Gallinari.
You think so?
Yeah.
You don't think he's going to be guarding Tobias Harris?
I think he will a little bit, but I think they can cycle Taj Gibson on there too.
Yeah.
It's not enough to get me off of Tobias.
No, I'm the opposite of getting off Tobias. I'm going to have a ton of Tobias. The thing is, so Gallo, I've been talking about Gallo for weeks. Guy's been on fire. He's been their most consistent offensive player, man. His field goal percentages are way up. His minutes are way up. He's healthy, you know. I think this is the first time we've seen Gallo 100% healthy in quite a while. But he's been priced up to reflect that. I'm not playing Andrew Wiggins. Just won't.
Yeah, don't.
Little bit of interest in Seti Osman. Little bit. But the same price you have Joe Ingles, who is in a horrible matchup as well. He'll probably see a ton of Kawhi there.
Especially with Donovan Mitchell out, like who else is there to guard Donovan Mitchell? Or who else is there to guard on the Jazz? So
yeah, it's gonna be tough. I mean, there isn't much else I really like here. I mean, I can maybe look at like an Etwan Moore for cheap, who's gonna play a lot in a high scoring game. I don't mind that so much. But outside of that, I mean, nothing else here really I like. So I'm gonna be either in the mid to high tier here.
Yep, I agree. So it's just kind of one of those things. Like it's position scarcity, man.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we sit on that. All right, let's move on to the power forward here. I think it's pretty easy to determine where we're going here. But it does have to deal with, some situations. Anthony Davis is on track to play.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be quite honest. He kills Oklahoma City. I was at one of the games last year, and I watched him and Cheick Diallo go absolutely completely bonkers. If AD's active, I'm going to ping pong him with Russ in as many lineups as I possibly can in tournaments.
Yeah. Yeah. There's three, maybe even four very clear cut options here. AD, Blake Griffin, Tobias Harris, Draymond Green. Those are the, like, I mean, Blake Griffin gets Kelly Olynyk. Love
please,
that.
Please.
You've got, you mentioned what AD does to OKC. You know, Tobias Harris in a pace up game and in a decently high scoring game. Focal point of the offense there. Under 8K. Got Aaron Gordon at 7,300 going up against the Cavs. I mean, there's a lot. Draymond Green versus Memphis, who's been playing out of his mind, which is actually more par for the course for him. But he's coming back to that, is what I'm getting at. I mean, there's a lot to like at this position. So,
Yep. And I don't mind that it's a pace down game for Draymond. That doesn't bother me, because he does so much. When Steve Kerr says that this is probably the best stretch of basketball that he's seen Draymond Green play since he's been in Golden State, he got me sold. I mean, I didn't need you to tell me that. I could see it with my own eyes, but you got me sold.
So something else I wanted to look at here. There seems to be a little bit of question around Thad Young. It was shown probable, but he was at some point questionable or uncertain.
Yeah, he missed shoot around with an illness this morning, but they expect him to play. That's as of right now.
Right. If we see anything change, go run and grab Sabonis.
Oh, yes, 100%.
I don't know if you can really not play him anywhere. I mean, the guy is going to see. So it'll be TJ Leaf that starts, but don't play Leaf. He's going to be in. This is too fast of a game for him.
Yeah, I would almost play Sabonis, cycle Sabonis in anyways, in case Thad gets out there and, you know, he's not feeling right.
I'm still going to have a ton of Sabonis for sure. No doubt.
So it's still a great matchup for him. We've said it a lot of times in the NBA. We don't really care who starts. I want the guy that's going to play the minutes. And that's kind of how I feel about that. So,
yeah.
With Wendell Carter Jr.,
mm-hmm.
I love him against New York tonight. And yeah. We've been talking about him. Here's the problem is I think he's obviously a better play on DraftKings where he's a lot cheaper. But
he's almost a must play on DraftKings.
Yeah. But he's more expensive than Tobias Harris today on FanDuel.
Oh, wow.
So
I get it. I do get it. I mean, he's got a really good matchup. I don't know. I like them both. I mean, I hate to say it, but I do. I think we're going to have to wait and see. You know, on FanDuel, it's not even a question, right? He's too expensive, I think.
I think he would be fine if other guys weren't in better spots for cheaper.
Right.
Like, I think this is a fair price tag for him.
Right, right. But not today.
Right. That's exactly. It's the not today factor that it plays the big key. So
like under 5K, I can go and I can get Jeremy Grant, who's been nothing but solid.
Guys, yeah, can put up 30 every game. You know, it's funny. I was sitting there and putting KD to sleep last night. And there was I forgot what Thunder blog it was, but they were talking about why Jeremy Grant has struggled and, you know, his numbers, and they mentioned regression to the mean and all these statistical analytical stuff. And I'm sitting there going, we're 10 games in. Come on.
But they're also, they're just looking at, like, average points and rebounds per game. That's all they're looking at.
Well, they were looking at true shooting percentages and yeah. stuff like that. But, like, I'm sitting there going, okay, this is a different team, different situation.
Right.
And he's getting better as a player. And, right. you know, they're like, well, you know, the second half of last year after the All-Star break was probably an outlier. He was playing over his head. Now you should see some regression to the mean, which he hasn't got there yet. So he should regress positively to the mean. And I'm like, guys, stop being stupid. So it's one of those blogs that popped up on my feed that, you know, they use a bunch of words to try to sound smart.
Right.
And make no mistake about it, Jeremy Grant is playing awesome.
Yeah.
It's also a different role. He's used to coming off the bench and now he's starting. So, which has actually fueled Patrick Patterson a little bit as well.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I love Jeremy Grant. I think he's amazing.
It's looking like this new coach, Larry Drew, is not playing Larry Nance as much as we wanted him to. I've got to look a little more into as to why, but it kind of takes him out of the equation for me. But I guess he's gone with more Decker.
Yeah, he's starting Decker.
Looking for more offense. Well, not just starting. Yeah, he's starting, but Decker's playing the minutes. Like, Nance is barely seeing 20.
Yeah.
So kind of takes me off him there, and I don't think it'll change. So between Grant for value, the second guy that I'm looking at here is going to be Marcus Morris.
Ooh, I didn't know you were going there. I was going somewhere else.
I do like the fact that particularly if Millsap isn't in, you're going to see a lot smaller of a game, meaning faster pace, meaning, you know, when you aren't able to attack Gary Harris and Jamal Murray, you can go and attack with the bigs. So I kind of like that. And if Millsap doesn't play, I don't see how you don't just throw all the Trey Lyles you could possibly throw in.
There you go, buddy. There you go.
So we'll have to wait and see what the news comes out with. But if he does sit, it's going to be a lot of Lyles for me.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. We've been on Lyles all season. And now you're telling me that he's going to be able to probably play close to 30 minutes,
yeah.
Barring foul trouble or injury. Yep, okay. Yep. So I love it. I think it's a fantastic play. There's one more guy I want to talk about, then we'll move on to centers.
Yeah.
Kelly Olynyk is going to pop today because of the fact that Hassan Whiteside's already been ruled out. We're about to talk about the other guy that's going to pop here in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
4,800 on FanDuel going against Detroit. Probably going to see a lot of Blake Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Griffin's not really, in my opinion, known as a lockdown defender.
not just your opinion.
But I mean, what are we doing here?
I mean, look, bottom line here is on lineups where you're not going to play Adebayo, you can play him. I don't like playing them together.
Definitely not.
But, you know, lineups where you want to fade the chalk Adebayo, who we're going to talk about here, like you said, you can go on Linux, sure. I mean, I don't know if, you know, where we assume. We'll have to look at the ownership projections here later on, but I believe Adebayo will be much higher than Olynyk. So, something to think about. But outside of that, I'm going to be playing a ton of Adebayo myself, so I don't know if I can stack those two.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you on that one. I'm not going to be playing them together in a majority of my lineups.
I'm actually going to probably set a rule in the DS to not put them together.
So. Yeah, I was about to say, and that's probably going to be the next thing, is I'll probably set that rule and just go from there.
Yeah.
So.
All right, centers.
Yes, please. Tell me you're not playing.
Who?
Okay.
Who?
I was going to say Boban.
I will have some Boban, yes, but he's not going to be my highest exposure.
Are you playing him even if Gortat's in?
No, probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. But what is it, questionable? Yeah, it's questionable. We'll see how it goes. So, while everybody goes and runs and plays at a bio, which you probably should, it's not a bad idea at his price. One of the things that I've been doing since I got here to the DFS Army is teaching our members to look at the opposite side of that.
Mm-hmm.
So Andre Drummond is in a fantastic spot.
Mm-hmm.
He's 9,200 on FanDuel. He's a 10K player, guys. He is. He's at 9,200. He had an embarrassing game against Embiid. Embiid just owns the guy. We know that already.
In his words, he owns real estate in his head.
That's right. Saw a really funny headline when talking about him in that game. The headline was, "Real Estate Mogul." It's Joel
Embiid. Yep.
But I think that was Roto World, maybe. But, he's in a great spot. He's going to want to bounce back. He's going to want to put up big numbers. So there's going to be a lot of chalk here at the bottom. You can, you know, where they zig, we zag, right? So
mm-hmm.
I do like me some Drummond here.
Yes, yes, I do too. I don't mind Marc Gasol. Like, we've talked about that a lot. Steven Adams is in a good spot. Nikola Vucevic. Mm-hmm. I think Clint Capella probably. I mean, Nikola Jokic is in a good spot. I mean, there's a lot to like at this position.
I even like Gobert, to be honest, in this kind of game. This is exactly the game I like Gobert in.
Yep, slow pace. And even that, Jonas Valanciunas.
Yep.
He's probably going to see a lot of run. Now, it's not easy to swallow on FanDuel. He's 6,100. But,
yikes.
I'm looking. He's 53 on FanDuel, or on DraftKings. So that's probably where I would get my exposure is on DraftKings.
All right, so let's talk about the guy we want to talk about. You ready?
Please do. Go.
So, even more so if Tim Hardaway misses, but not even really going to shift that much. While everybody's going to flock to most of the guys that we mentioned, particularly Bam Adebayo, really, really, really like this spot for Enes Kanter.
Mm-hmm.
Enes is going to have to be their scorer. They, I mean, they're going to have Nil Aquino, they're going to have Dotson, they're going to have Mitchell, they're going to, I mean, they're going to have Mitchell Robinson. They're going to have these guys that are not scorers. Dotson is a scorer, but besides him, without Hardaway, who's going to score for this team? And who better to do that than Kenis Kanter? This is one of those games where Kanter, off the bench or not, comes in and puts up 55 fantasy points. That's how I'm envisioning this game going. And I'm even more confident in that if Hardaway Jr. sits.
Yes.
So I like the zagging there with Kanter.
I agree with everything you just said.
But you are going to need him to outscore Adebayo. And when Adebayo plays, he puts up a lot of points. So just keep that in mind.
Yes, yes, he does. I his ceiling is 50.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there. If he gets 30 minutes, stays out of foul trouble, in this matchup, his ceiling is 50.
Yeah.
So I love it. So we talked about Paul Millsap. If they sit, Nikola Jokic comes into play. I actually don't mind Miles Plumlee either.
I don't either.
Because you could see Nikola slide over to the four and both at the same time put Plumlee on at the five. Remember, they don't have Kenneth Faried anymore to eat up some of those minutes at the four. You know, they've got, you know, Trey Lyles, but if they go Aaron Baines, Markieff Morris, Trey Lyles is more of a three in that situation. He's not, right. He can't handle that type of size.
Yeah.
So they could go Nikola at the four and put Miles Plumlee at the five. So
yeah, if you start seeing Baines and Horford out there, yeah, absolutely.
Yep, exactly. So, or, you know, yeah, or even Baines and Horford. I forgot about that little combo. So anybody else at the center position?
Not that I would go with all the things we talked about here. I mean, I might have minimal interest in a really inexpensive Miles Turner, but frankly, why would I play Miles Turner when I could play Adebayo? I mean, just it doesn't make sense for two K less. So.
All right, and we're running up against it here, but there's two guys I wanted to really kind of talk about real quick. We've talked a lot about this New Orleans Oklahoma City game. Julius Randle, 6,300. Yes, AD is probably going to be back, but I mean, we've seen Julius kind of go off no matter who's in or what's in, and he's another one of those guys. Like, they could put AD at the five or him at the five. Like, Mirotić, Randle, AD, in my opinion, I think they're all in play. More AD and Mirotić than Randle, but
yeah.
I think Randle's still, he's a very good tournament play that's not going to garner a lot of ownership at all.
Great.
Especially on FanDuel where you have to play him at center, and right. You only get one of them.
Right.
Right. Mitchell Robinson going against Chicago.
Probably not, man.
Yep. Same lines. So, all right, guys. Bear, anything else we got?
No, that's all I got, man.
Awesome. Great show today. Good to be back on the weekend. Great to be back, or from the weekend.
Yeah.
It was a nice little weekend in FanDuel, or in football. I actually took first and second in the Survivor on
right.
For the DFS Army on Fantasy Draft, so I was kind of happy about that.
Nice.
But that's going to do it for us today. Obviously, we'll be active in chat all throughout the afternoon and through the evening. So let's have a good day. For Bear, for myself, for the DFS Army, we gone.